Hi, welcome back to the podcast. I know it's been a little bit since the last episode. Took a little bit of a break through the summer to do several different things, from wedding to kids camp, music stuff, a lot of different things. Spent some time with the family. But anyways, we're going to hop back into this and try to get to a more regular occurrence of the podcast video or audio if you're listening on one of the platforms. But today we're going to talk about one of my favorite chapters and how encouraging it is, how it can build your faith, it can bring peace, and there's so many blessings in this chapter. And that is Psalms 23. It's one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. It's not a long chapter. We're going to kind of go through it today, but I hope to encourage someone today with this word and kind of just going through it and talking about it and kind of applying it to our lives. Psalms 23. In Psalms 23, it is, have been determined most likely to be written by David when he was king, supposedly. And David had been through a lot of things. You know, he was a young shepherd boy. He had been anointed king. He fought the giant Goliath. He was Saul's armor bearer. He played the harp for him. He was a commander in armies, and he won battles and wars, and he became a hero to be, you know, kind of put to the side by Saul, King Saul, because of his jealousy of the popularity of David, and he became persecuted by King Saul, and so he had to flee, and so he went through all of these things, and it took decades from the time he was anointed king to actually become king. So he's been through some things. He has some wisdom to offer as he's writing these Psalms. He also has a great understanding of the position of a shepherd. He was a shepherd. He had very great care for shepherds and what they did because it was something he did growing up. So he had a great understanding of relying on God. And so when he is writing this with the power of God behind him, I believe, as he's penning these words, he also had great understanding of what he is writing, I believe. In Psalms 23, verse 1, it starts out with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I love this, the start of this chapter. It's a huge proclamation, but it's something that the rest of the chapter depends on. This is a chapter of great promises, like I said before, and comfort and peace, but it all starts on where you are going and what or who you are following. So it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." So everything else you're about to hear about this chapter hinges on the fact that the Lord has to be the shepherd. This is all dependent on that relationship. It's all dependent on that analogy. God has to be your focus. He has to be your direction. And he has to be the leader of your life. Everything hinges on this passage of scripture, on that first statement, "The Lord is my shepherd." That means I'm taking kind of the role and position of a sheep, and he is the shepherd. I'm going wherever he leads me. I'm just doing what he says. It's his will, not my will. It's his way, not my way. It's his vision, not my vision. It's all about what God wants. That's where I'm going. That's my direction. But who he says I am, that's who I am. The Lord is our shepherd. And when we understand that, we will understand, you know, that relationship. We see then how everything else kind of falls in place. But nothing else matters in this chapter if we don't understand that, if we don't understand that he is our shepherd. And he goes on to say that we won't lack, or we won't have want. We won't want anything. There won't be lack. Now, let me put it in this way. You know, sheep are not looking with great dreams and vision, you know, of prosperity and things like that. They're looking for the next meal. They're looking to have sustainable life, right? So when I say that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, it doesn't mean to me, you know, in my studies and in my prayer and application of the scripture, it doesn't mean that everything you want, God should give it to you. No, it's what you need. It's what you need in those situations and in life. God will provide what you need. And there's a difference between need and want, because a lot of us have a lot of wants, but those wants may not necessarily be what we need. It may not be the thing that God wants us to have in our lives, because it can cause distractions, it can cause derailment, it can cause us to stop following. Matter of fact, it can put our life on the course when we're not following the shepherd. So, and there's also, we have to realize there's times and seasons for everything. There are things in our life that we want that we feel like are needs, and God agrees, but it's just not time for it. So there has to be some understanding put upon this. When it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, there is some understanding about the want versus need and the timing. But the shepherd always will look after and supply for the sheep. And God does the same to us. He looks after us. He supplies the needs. He is the provider, the miracle worker. He's the one that knows everything from the end to the beginning. He will know what you need and what you want. He knows the desires of your heart. And he will give you some wants. He will bless you and give you some things that you do desire that aren't necessarily maybe needs. He will do that. But it's all in his timing and in his perfect will that we have to. And let me just do a personal story here. I think it's important that we, you know, pray about everything that we want. And what I mean by that is, not only do we bring it to God and say, God, I want this. Can you do this in my life? Or God, please fill this, you know, need or desire. But also say, God, can you do it if it's your will? Let the door open up if it's your will, but let it close if it's not. Or if it's not the right time, then God, just bring it when it's the right time. For example, my wife, she actually is just about to start a new job. And this is something she's kind of been wanting for a while, but it's just not been, it just hasn't manifested, you know, it just has not come to fruition. And she's prayed about it and all that. And then all of a sudden, everything kind of worked out. And it was kind of crazy how it is. And I'm not going to go into all the details in the story, but it just boom, 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 things opened up one door after another, and now she gets this job that she really wants right down the street from our house. She's close proximity. It's a good school. It's one Alana is zoned for, our daughter. So it's just kind of the perfect, you know, place for her for this season. And she's been wanting it for a while and didn't know how to, you know, make that happen, but she couldn't. But God did. In his perfect timing. And it literally is the perfect time. You know, we didn't really see it in the moment, but we see it now. So God can make a way. He can give you the desires of your heart. He will. But it also depends on timing, want, and where it's going to lead you. Because, you know, as human beings, we don't see the end from the beginning. We don't know the future. So we have to rely on God for that. Verse 2 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Sheep need a place of rest, a place to feed, a place to cool down, a place to drink, you know, after a long journey, after a long walking. So God is a giver of peace, and it passes all understanding. He's a God, as a supplier of needs, a supplier of rest, a place to refresh. When you've had a long day, get into the presence of God. I remember when I used to have to drive in and to and from the office, it was about a 45-minute minimum commute one way. And after a long day and sometimes stressful and sometimes frustrating day, I would, you know, turn on some worship music and just begin to praise and get in the presence of God on the way home from work. And it was just amazing how by the time I got home, every time, if I had some stress or frustration or just something that wasn't right that day, how everything would be equaled out. and balanced and right when I got home. You know, God would bring me peace. He would bring me understanding. He would, you know, lighten the load of, you know, take away my frustrations, give me joy again. You know, He would do all this. He would supply it. And so when I got home to my family, my wife, she would see a different person than maybe that was walking to the car from the job. And God is that way. He will lead you to those places. And it says in verse 3, He restores my soul. He's the only one that can reach to the depths of who you are and restore who you are and restore us. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. God is the leader of righteousness. He's not just asking you to walk a path that He's not leading you down. He's not asking you to walk a path that isn't the right one, that He hasn't already chosen and is leading you down that. And that path will bring Him glory. A lot of times in the day and age we live in, people are looking to walk down paths that bring them glory. But as followers of the shepherd, we should be walking down paths that bring Him glory. That should be the emphasis of our life. That should be the emphasis of our choices and decisions, is to bring God glory, not necessarily glory to ourselves. So my life will bring glory to God as it reflects how I walk, the choices that I make, the decisions that I make, where I go, how I get there. All of that will bring glory to God if we're following the shepherd. Then verse 4 starts to take a turn and get a little bit heavy, but yet very comforting and peaceful. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." One of the most, I think, amazing verses in the scripture, actually. It's super amazing what is packed in here. And I don't have time to just go through every little thing, but I do want to mention a couple. And that says, first, is that He's not walking through death, but the shadow of it. A lot of times we go through what seems to be an overwhelming valley. And if you'd know anything, a thing about valley would be it's going between two high mountains or formations, right? So it's lower than things that are on each side. And some valleys have the mountains closer than others. Some you can't really, it's a valley so wide you don't really see, but some of them you see. And so this is the shadow of death. So I picture it like the sun is hitting a mountain and casting the shadow of a mountain called death into the valley. And you're walking through that. And it may be a torturous terrain. It may be deserted. It may be, you know, it's not the best place to be, right? And so even if I walk, yea, though I walk, this is where I am. I'm going through this situation. It's not death, but it seems like it's in the shadow of it. It's very close. It's not looking good. I will fear no evil. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be afraid of the outcome. I don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen to me while I'm there or if I'm ever going to get out of it. I don't have to be afraid. Why? Because God, You are with me. You see, He's with us. He's with us in the good times, the bad. He's with us in the highs and the lows. He's with us on the mountaintops, those great experiences, but also in the valley lows. He's with us through it all. And the greatest thing and comfort to me is not only is He with us, but when we follow Him, He's the one that leads us out of it. He's the one that leads us out of the valley. He leads us out of that valley of the shadow of death. He brings us peace and comfort. He's the one that does these amazing things in our lives, even in the midst of storms and circumstances that aren't unpleasant and uncomfortable. He is still there leading us out of it. So I don't have to be afraid. Why? Because God's with me and He's leading me through all of that. And then it says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I want to spend just a moment here, because sometimes, at least in my life, when hearing this and hearing people preach and teach and talk about it, they kind of just pass over this. And there's a lot of significance in actual the rod and the staff. The staff usually was a walking stick and usually with a curved end. And the shepherds would use this to support, to lean on, to make sure the ground was sturdy. You know, if it was climbing up rocks or anything, they could use this to support them. But it was also used to the curl end of the stick to rescue if a sheep was stuck or to bring them closer to them, especially for shearing. and all of that. But it was also the bottom part of it would be to guide the sheep along the path, you know, kind of to keep them in the herd or the flock and to keep them going in the right direction. And so the staff of God, it brings comfort. It brings peace. It brings reinforcement to me because I know it's something I can lean on. God is something I can lean on. He's my support. He has a support of all, being God Almighty, right? He's God Almighty, and there's nothing he can't do. He's all-powerful. Nothing's impossible with him. And so he's my support. He's something I can lean on. He's who I trust. He's who I put my faith and trust in. But also, if I'm stuck, if I feel like I'm stuck or I'm in an obstacle or I'm in something that I feel like, how do I get out? He's the one that has that curled staff that can nudge me out and pull me out and bring me closer back to him. He's the one that guides me and leads me on the path. You know, that kind of, it's not a rod of correction here. It's a staff of alignment and adjustment. You know, some conviction's very good. We should not be upset at conviction in our lives. We need to be convicted because it realigns us and helps get us back in that right path. But the rod was also often used as this little rod, kind of like a, you know, I hate to say billy club, but it's kind of a rod that would stay on their belt, and it was a tool of protection. If wolves were to come, danger, they would use that to fight off, to defend the sheep. But it was also kind of like a tool of love because they would hold it down, and they would bring the sheep forth and kind of just touch the back of each one as they counted them to make sure none was lost, to make sure everyone was accounted for. And so that rod and staff brings comfort because it's my guide, it's my lean-to, but it's also my protection. It's a source of love. It knows that God is counting me in his fold. He knows he cares. He's not letting me go through the valley by myself. He's there. He's protecting me. He's guiding me. If I'm stuck, he can bring me close, bring me in. He can course correct me if need be, protect me from the enemy. But also he counts me. He makes sure I don't become the one that, and if I do become the one, he'll leave the 99 to come get me. But that is a comfort to me. And it's a comfort. It should be a comfort to all of us, even though we're going through that valley of the shadow of death. It says, thou preparest a table in verse 5 before me in the presence of my enemies. This is very interesting to me because the enemies are around, circling around. It's like they're there. They're preparing maybe to come, but they're there. You know they're there. The presence of my enemies, they're here. And yet God's preparing a table. He's preparing a feast, a blessing and provisions in the midst of the presence of the enemies. God isn't distressed or perplexed by the enemy. He's not distressed or perplexed or confused about the circumstances that you're going through, the people you're dealing with in your life. God, he knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. So he's not perplexed about your circumstance. Just let him prepare that feast. Let him nourish you, bless you in the midst of your enemies, because oftentimes God's going to be fighting your battles. He's going to be, you know, fighting battles. You know, he's going to be, you know, working on your behalf. Then it goes on to say, thou anointest my head with oil. This is an Old Testament concept. That those who were anointed, they would pour oil on the head, the anointing oil on the head, and it would flow down all the way down to their feet. And it was considered a set apart. You were setting a person apart. You were consecrating them to be in a position to serve God. That's the reason why they were anointed. God often called for people to be anointed, and usually they were kings, priests, or prophets. Those were the ones that would be anointed with oil in the Old Testament, and they'd be set apart. They'd be known as a man of God and servant of God. You weren't just a king. David wasn't just a king to, you know, enjoy the riches of being a king. No, he was a king to lead the people of God, to make sure they were supposed to stay in the right way. And that's why it was a big deal in the history of Israel when kings would start worshiping idols and leading the people of Israel in the wrong direction. And God would bring in correction because they were supposed to be there to lead them in the right direction and be set apart and be anointed. So kings, priests, prophets were anointed, set apart. So when, for us, when it says God anoints the head of our way, he will set us apart to serve in his kingdom. He will make us available. To me, this is super powerful because he can use anybody. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your upbringing. It doesn't matter your past, your family, any circumstance. You can be used by God in his kingdom. You can be set apart to serve him and do great things for him, great things in his kingdom. And then it goes on to say, my cup runneth over. Because whenever God pours out, whenever he does something, it's something more than we can contain, control, understand. It's more extravagant. It's more, that's to him that can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's what the Bible says. It's more than we can imagine. When God works, when he pours out, it's more than what we have to even contain. And verse 6, as I begin to wrap this up, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. One of my favorite parts of this, and what a beautiful way to start the ending of this chapter. I really love this verse because when I look back at my past, when I look behind me, what's following me is goodness and mercy. It's the goodness and mercy of God. When I look back over my history, my past, I'm not seeing mistakes and failures. I'm not seeing missed opportunities. I'm not seeing things that have fell to the wayside. When I really look back from where I am now to how I got here and what I went through, what I'm seeing is the goodness of God in my life. I'm seeing his mercy. I'm seeing his grace. I'm seeing his faithfulness. That's what I see when I look back. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the day. When I'm following the shepherd, when I am looking forward, focusing on the shepherd and where he's taking me, when I turn around to ponder where I have come from, when I look behind me, I am going to see the goodness and mercy of God. And then it says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God doesn't just care about where you are, but he cares about where you're going. And we can be with him and in his presence while we're on earth. And for all eternity, we can be with him forever. And this is one of my favorite chapters. But all of these blessings, all of these great things, it hinges on the fact that the Lord has to be your shepherd. I hope I encouraged someone today. I hope I built your faith maybe. And maybe you're going through something and you're listening or watching this and you're going through something. I encourage you, just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord because he can bring you out. He can bring you through. He will, if you just follow God, he will bring you out. I hope this blesses someone. Thank you.